This morning, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in James, the first chapter, and we'll pick up at the 19th verse, and we'll move to the end of the chapter. You know, last week Brian was talking about how we have tests, and through our tests, through things that happen to us in our life, that we become closer to God. I agree with that 100%. You know, our trials and the things that happen in our life draws us closer to God. Last week, I almost had to stand up and say, Brian, hold it a minute. I want to testify. But I didn't. But it brought back some funny thoughts to my head. Randy, you'll agree with this just in a minute. But, you know, the trials that we have as an adult, folks, that brings us to our faith is stronger from all the trials that we go through. I do believe that 100%. But when we were kids, we had a lot of trials when we were young. A lot of people had a lot of different parents. Now, kids, Weston, he don't get this, I'm pretty sure. And little man there, but anyway, everybody else will, a whole lot of you will. When we were kids, we thought that we didn't have many trials on one hand, but on the other hand, when you look back on your life and you stop and you think about it, I was sitting there listening to Brian, and I almost got tickled because I didn't know if I was going to live to be 10-year-old. I couldn't remember when we was young and Mama would get us ready to go to church or get us ready to go anywhere, and she'd say, now, don't get out there and get dirty. Whatever you do, don't get out there and get dirty. We got to go here. We got to go there. And what would happen? We'd get out there and catch the dog and roll around in the yard, and we'd get dirty. And maybe we'd get looked at before we got in the car. Maybe we didn't get looked at. But when we got in the back seat, that old 55 Chevrolet, that two-door, there's nowhere to go. And about going down the road, Mama looks back and says, I told you not to get dirty. So then she spits just in a Kleenex, and she turns around, and she's doing this on your face, Brian. And I don't know if you lived through that or not, but she's doing that all over your face, trying to get you clean where you'll be presentable wherever you're going. If you fight back, the next thing, she's flipped her leg up, got her shoe, and she's whop, 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 and beating you across the head with that shoe until she gets you all cleaned up. That's quite a trial, wasn't it, Pete? Yeah, Pete come up through that day, I know. And so that was quite a trial. And our faith grew strong because we didn't get killed. She stopped before she killed us. And it was a good lesson for each and every one of us. So sometimes, folks, when we hear, like we heard from Brian last week, that our trials make us stronger, even our trials at a younger age, it had an impression on us. Everything makes an impression on a kid. And today, if we'd done that, I guess they'd probably put us in jail. But that was about a every week deal at some point during the week. You got that little ritual handed to you. But as we look at the things that make us stronger, we live through them and we grow stronger. But what did that teach us? What did that teach me? Well, supposedly, it should have taught me to obey Mom. It should have taught me to listen to what Mom and Dad said when they told me something. And this is what the Lord is saying today. We're listening and obeying. Do we really obey God? Does he have to jerk you up, slap you around a little bit before you get your attention? So, folks, today I want us to stop and I want us to hear the reading of God's word. And let's hear what James, the brother of Jesus, says about obeying the word when we hear it. It says in the 19th verse, Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all your filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word of God that has been planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself, and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion is the sight of God. In the sight of God, the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. This is the reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. My reading's a little bit off this morning, too. For the first time this week, I've had a toothache, and I apologize to all of y'all that's ever had one because I had never experienced that, and it ended up in my eye. How that works, I don't know. But it's kind of been a little bit weird. You know, folks, as we hear the reading of God's word, it says we must be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to get angry. You know, as I think about how Jesus lived his life, and he walked this earth and he taught each and every one of us, and I was thinking about that story again this week as I was studying some for today, and I'm thinking how quick our parents were to get angry at us, how quick they were to respond to being angry, and how they would take all of that into their own hands. And I thought about Jesus and how he must have been angry with a lot of us. No, he was disappointed, I think, in a lot of us. But I don't think he was angry. He is still disappointed with a lot of us today in the way that we live our lives. I think that sometimes in the way that we live our lives, we are so quick to speak and so quick for our temper to fly off that he's saying, Mike, why in the world? Why in the world? Tammy can tell you that till 25 years ago, I had a temper out of this world, and it took a little bit to set it off, but when it did, it was terrible, and I am so ashamed of a lot of the times when it would explode. I would try to be quiet. I would try to be not speaking so much real quick, but it wouldn't last. It would always be bad. It was even bad enough that my neighbor, one of my older gentleman that lived the next house down from me, when I had heart surgery, he come by the house and he said, he stopped and he said, Mike, how are you? I said, I'm feeling better. I'm doing good. He said, well, do you want to live through this? And I said, well, yeah, I want to live through it and let's get back to going. He said, Mike, I got a piece of advice for you. He said, you're not going to live very long at all if you don't learn how to control your temper. He said, if you don't learn not to get mad, you're not going to live. And he said, I've been sent here to talk to you and tell you that about your temper. He's about 90, close to 90 at that time. And I said, well, brother, I said, I didn't realize that my temper showed that much. He said, you have a good way of going about life, but he said, when you get mad, you're crazy mad. And that's not going, you can't do that after you've had heart surgery and expect to live. So he said, you just need to forget about getting angry. Well, I wasn't preaching at that time. And But that stuck in my head probably as much as anything ever did, any advice anybody ever gave me. He cared enough about me to come to my house and talk to me about my temper, how angry I could get, and how out of control I could be. So, folks, as we stop and we think about this is what the Word is saying. It does not produce righteousness. It's not going to produce any righteousness when you get that mad. When you get out of control, when you get 100% out of control, and some of the things that you say and some of the things that you do, it does not produce any righteousness. I know we had an old Craftsman lawnmower, and that thing, you could ride it about 5 minutes and work on it for 2 hours. And one day I sent Tammy to get a belt, and I was trying to get the thing to run, and it wouldn't run, and I didn't know where she was at that time, but I had a 42-pound sledgehammer. When she drove up, I had that sledgehammer hooked to that lawnmower. And that did not produce anything except me pushing that yard. So did I have a temper? Yes, I did. But when we have a temper and we let that temper get away from us, it doesn't help us any at all, none at all. All it does, it makes it harder on like I did myself, on me. So we have to look at what our temper does for us, how speaking quickly and sharply to others, and how do we really want to listen? Do we really want to listen to what anyone else has to say? We don't, do we? I didn't want to listen to what that fella had to say that come up there that day. But I did, and I applied that to my life from that day forward. I applied it the best I could. And it began to sink in, and it began to help. But it was only after I turned to the Word of God, and it was only after I asked God to take over my life and let me be a disciple for Him, did it ever work. Because you can control so much of your life yourself, but it's only through God that it can be controlled fully. You have no way to be able to control your life 100%. So it says God desires for us to be slow to anger and not to get angry. It's what He really desires. So it says, get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the Word of God that has been planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your soul. That Word of God that's been planted in your heart, folks, every one of us has heard the Word of God. And I sure hope it's been planted in your heart. Because if it's not been planted in your heart, what good is it for you to hear this Word? What good is it for us to look at James and to read what he has and what he is telling us if we're not going to let it be planted in our heart? This spring, as it becomes warm, we'll each one put out a tomato plant almost, or put out a pepper plant or something, so we can have something that we enjoy. And when it doesn't live and it dies, we all get all bent out of shape about it. We go get us another one, but that means it's going to be 2 more weeks or longer before it produces. And so we're not happy. You know, folks, if we stop and we think about God and how He directs our lives, He's not happy when we don't produce. He's planted that Word in our heart, and it's through that Word and through Him that our souls are saved. We have that opportunity to have everlasting life. We have the opportunity to be a disciple for Him here on this earth. We have the opportunity to be everything that you could ever imagine you could be and more. But we don't let it grow. If it's planted and it lives, it's just a little plant, and we didn't put any fertilizer on it, so we don't really care if it lives or not. We'll put out another one, see what it does. You know, it's so much easier to put out tomato plants when you put them out, which got a little cup and it's got fertilizer all in it, and you set that tomato and that fertilizer takes off and helps push that plant to grow. That's the way we want to live our life. We want it to have fertilizer around all this word, and we don't want to have to do anything. We don't want to have to change our way. We don't want to have to get rid of the filth in our lives. We don't want to have to change anything about the way we think, the way we live. We want it to be like it is, but yet produce for our Lord and Savior. It won't do it. It won't work. It won't work. When people see you, do they see you as a Christian? Do they see you as one of God's children? How do they see you? And this week, folks, also, I was thinking, and I said to myself, if the good Lord took me home right this minute, and he said, I'm going to come live in Mike's body this week. I'm just going to move in his body, and you're not going to know Mike's gone, but I'm going to move in. Would you see a big difference in the way that things are being done? We shouldn't. We should be living for the Lord. We should be that we would be living and being a disciple that is close enough to being like him that nobody would know he's living in my body. They would think it's Mike living in my body. But I guarantee you, you'd know it's the Lord. You'd know it's something different than what it is with me. That's the way we all are, folks. Every one of us. We none of us strive to be as much like the Lord as we could. Nobody I know of, not even myself, strives to be as Christ-like as they could be each and every day and each and every week. Now that's just what I see, because there's so many other things in this world that pulls us away from it. But it says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. So if you're hearing the word, you're hearing the word brought to you on Sunday morning, every day, maybe you tune in the radio to hear the word, and you're hearing this word brought to you, and you're not doing anything about it, what good is it? Well, a lot of times, folks, we get up in a big hurry, and we'll run to the bathroom, and we'll throw a little water on our face and brush our teeth right quick, and we're out the door. And we forget, actually, how bad our hair really looked. We might run back and comb it, or we might run back and get a comb brushed through it, or I don't have that problem, but a lot of people do. But that's the way that we live. We look at ourselves, we look at God's word, we look at what we should be doing, but it never gets done. It never happens. So when we look at ourselves closely in the mirror and we see the flaws that are all about us, then we sometimes take a minute, just a little extra minute, to cut off some of the long hair in our beard, to comb our hair, to do something that we might need to do to make us look a little better for the people around us. So when we do, we're helping ourselves, our own appearance. But folks, think about it. This is the same thing we're doing with the Word of God. When we are looking at God's Word and it's reflecting back at us and we're concentrating on the Word and we're spending time in the Word, not just on Sunday morning, but every day, we're spending time with God. Some point during the day, we are taking that time, making that time. And even better, do you get up or any time during the day, do you take time to cut off everything around you in the world and just meditate with God? Do we ever do that? No, very seldom, very seldom. To me, the best time to do that's what Tammy's always called windshield time. She's always said, I had too much windshield time. And that's a whole lot of truth, because your mind runs crazy when you got hours and hours and hours of windshield time. But that's just the way it is. But when you have that windshield time also, you have the time to let God talk to you, to meditate in your heart, to time to spend with the Lord. But that means turn off the radio, turn off all the stuff around you, get off your phone, put your phone up, turn it down where it won't ring, whatever, talk to whoever it is later. It means cutting yourself off from the world. How many of us want to be turned off from the world? We don't. We don't. So folks, we see this is what he's saying when he says, when he's talking about looking at yourself in a mirror. He says, if you're looking at the Word of God and you're not seeing anything that needs to be done or anything different, then it's just like turning around, walking off, and forgetting about what you even look like. But he also says, if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you have heard, then God will bless you for doing it. Scripture we read this morning for the pouring of the water, what it say? If you stay focused on God, it's like a tree planted by the river that will produce wonderful fruit. Folks, that's our life. That's the way we live. If we stay focused on God, He will have us like the tree planted by the river where the fruit will come from us and abound from us with such a harvest. But we have to desire it. You have to want it. You have to be in line with what God wants, not what Mike wants. Because Mike is human. You can say, well, I enjoy the preacher. I enjoy Brian. Mike is the preacher. Brian and Mike are human. We make mistakes just as well as anyone does. We're not perfect, folks. It's never going to happen. And so many times in my life, when I look back upon the pastors that we've had, there's been so many that I really loved and I really enjoyed being around and listening to and hanging out with, but they were human. I can tell you a lot of their flaws. And that's the way we are. So he says, if you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. So you see, folks, faith without works is no good. Works without faith is no good. It's the same. They run just the same. You see, if you have a love of God in your heart, and you really love God and you really want to do His work and be the disciple He's called you to be, what's the first thing you can do? You can find the need of what Eddie's need is this morning. We can find the need of Irvin, what he needs this morning, and we can meet that need. It could be a number of things that either one of them could need. But it might be that the ball game's coming on this afternoon, and we all want to get home and see the ball game, some type of ball game. Everybody's interested in a ball game. But Irvin might say, well, Mike, I really need you to run to Nashville with me this afternoon. I really need you to take me to Nashville. Irvin, you know what's happening this evening? I'd love to, but buddy, I got to watch this ball game. And that's the way we live our life. It's the way we live our life. You see, folks, there's so many things in the world today. And I talk about a ball game. I don't mean to be stepping on anybody's toes about a ball game. But it's the lust of the flesh. It's the things that the flesh seek. You know, to me and to Randall, I'll use Randall. For me and Randall, one of the things of this world, the lust of the flesh, you know, is to be able to drink. And we can't do it. Me and Randall know that. We can't do it. But if I could, it would be that, you know, that's one of the things that would hurt me as far as putting it into my fleshly body. There's a lot of other things that I have a problem with that would hurt me if I done it to my body. But it's this lust that we have of the flesh. And we have this pride of life. We have done so much. I tell y'all what, I'm gonna tell you, when I was young, I didn't have two nickels rubbed together. But I've done pretty well. And I'm not giving it to nobody either. I'm gonna hang on to it. Y'all ever heard that conversation? I've heard it a bunch in my life from a lot of different people. I tell you one thing, if they want it, they can get out and work for it just like I did. They ain't getting one dime of mine. We've all heard it. That pride of life itself, folks, it is in each one of us. I don't care who you are, it's in us. And then everywhere you look, there's all kinds of eye candy to each one of us. Our eyes are one of our biggest downfalls. Eye candy everywhere. I look at Mark's motorcycle, I said, that thing is pretty. I mean, it's pretty. What is that? That is nothing but eye candy to me. You know, I go to Tubbs's, I said, dadgum Tubbs, that's a good looking ride. Eye candy. That's all it is. Kenny's got a helicopter, or he might have. I don't know if you got one now. I ain't got no helicopter today. We might have tomorrow, though. And that'd be one of the first things I'd want, be that helicopter. All of this stuff that our eyes see is what we desire. I don't care what it is. The many things that we see, folks, through our eyes, it hurts us so bad. How many of us see something? I'm the world's worst. I mean, the world's worst. But how many of us see it and say, I like that. I would like to have one if I ever come across one and it was at the right time. But it don't really matter to me whether I do or whether I don't. Very few. You know, one of my weaknesses is something called a gun. If I see it, I don't care how rusty it is or how new it is. I like something about it. Why? I don't know. It's just something about it that I like. It's just part of the man in me. So you see, everything we do, whether it be the things that we do with our flesh, our eyes, or the pride that we walk around with every day, it's what keeps us. It's what keeps us from obeying the Word of God. It's from what keeps us from being the disciple that Christ has called us to be. Folks, it's hard to be that disciple that that Christ wants us to be. It is really hard. But then you turn around and you flip it, and it's not hard at all. It's not hard at all, folks. It's just stuff. We learned that this week when we saw California burn down. Mansions, cars, everything they owned. It's just stuff. All they had was themselves. They probably got some money in the bank, but they just got themselves basically that day. And like I told Tammy, I said, you know, they are as homeless. They are as homeless as all the people that was down on the street of L.A. They're just the same spot. Only thing, they may be able to get a motel room, but they're basically the same place where all the people that are homeless are at. So, folks, when we see the things that's happened in the spur of a flash of an eye or the spur of a moment, just stop and think about it. All of this can happen to us. Every bit of it can happen to each and every one of us. Lots of things happening in the world that we live in today. And I pray today that we see and we hear God's Word, because He says that it's through His Word, the Word that's planted in your hearts, for it is through that that you have the power to save your souls. What's most important, folks? Some bunch of junk around here in this world, or the soul that we will be able to spend our eternity with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? I hope you think about it. I hope you understand that obeying God's word is the most important thing. Hearing and obeying. And don't make it be like Mom used to do us. Get back there with a spit rag and wiping and carrying on and slapping and knocking. That's no fun. That's no fun. That's no way to live life. But it was fun getting there, but it wasn't no fun getting past it. So that's life for us. It's fun getting there. It's fun having fun. But then you got to pay your dues. And it's no fun to pay them dues. So folks, know that God loves you. And he loves you so much that he sent his son Jesus. And all he asked is for us to be able to believe in him, to believe his word, know that it's the truth. He's not going to put anything out there that's not the truth. Everything in this Bible is true. Believe it and live into it and enjoy being the disciple he's called you to be. But if you don't have a heart for people, if you don't love others, if you don't have a heart that shows to other people that you love people, that you love others, you're probably not where you need to be. That's just one little marker that you can kind of bank off of this week. How much do I really love Irvin? How much do I really love the people around me? Well, I'd do anything in the world, just holler whatever you need. Right? But not right. Because we'll draw the line at some point. It's not my responsibility. It's not my place. And that's not what Jesus said. When they took him to the cross, he didn't say, hey, wait a minute. It's not my responsibility. It's not my place to die for Mike and for Brian and for Irving, for each and every one of us. He accepted it and died upon that cross that we could have everlasting life. Think about it, folks, as we go back into this world. Obey the word. Hear the word, obey the word, and meditate on the word. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.